thank you very much for joining my session here. I am Eric. I am a normal user, which means I'm not a developer. And I love free software. And that is the main reason why, for a long time, I resisted to get myself a smartphone. Because actually, I think I had no choice, because either I could get myself an iPhone, but then I get locked into the Apple proprietary world, or I could get myself an Android, and then I get locked into the Google tracking, and I didn't want it both, until someone told me about custom ROMs, which are basically forks from Android without the Google apps, and about F-Droid, which is a free software app repository that delivers you hundreds and thousands of free software apps. And since then, now I'm a happy smartphone user using free software on my smartphone. And today I wanted to share my experience with that and hopefully enable you also to achieve freedom on your devices. Oh, now is my screen off here. It's also there off. It's not my computer, so I hope it works out. So I wanted to share my experience that I have with F-Droid with you. And first I wanted to shortly know, who of you knows already F-Droid? Oh, that's quite a lot. Okay, that's cool. So then I hope I can tell you something new and share my best apps that I know from F-Droid. I will shortly talk about Android and free software and the free software environment with Android, and then I will talk about F-Droid. So I guess you all know, especially as you use a lot of F-Droid here, a lot of F-Droid users here, I guess you know what is free software, but just to be sure, when I say free software, then I talk about the software that gives you the four freedoms to use, study, share, and improve the software. The problem with the Android system basically is the Android system itself is a Linux-based operating system and it's free software. But by default, it's delivered with the Google apps, and they are not free software, they are proprietary software. So Gmail, Gmaps, YouTube, and so on. So you get, by default, you get binary blobs on your system, and maybe worse. Normally you buy a phone, if you do not buy a Nexus, you buy a phone with a third-party reseller. They add more proprietary software on it, like Facebook app or Amazon or whatever, soccer app, what is out there. And so by default you have binary blobs on your phone. That is a problem because you don't know the usual problems you have with proprietary software. You don't know exactly what it is doing. And you cannot control what it is doing. And in this case, often with Android, you cannot even uninstall it. So you are lost with that. The solution to this, in short, but it's actually a very complex topic and very technical, but in short, the solution to this is you can root your phone. And when you root your phone, then afterwards, you can install alternative operating system. So this is basically called custom ROMs, because that the Android system is a free software system. There are forks out there, and they can use the system itself, and then they can free it from the Google apps, and then they republish it as you are used to do with free software. So you can get these custom ROMs and install them on your phone. There is a whole universe out there with different custom ROMs serving different needs and aspects of software. I've just chosen two to show you, because the Replicant, the first here, is a custom ROM developed by the FSF, the Free Software Foundation, and it has basically it's 100% free software down to the driver. It's all free software, so if you're really into free software, this is the custom ROM to choose, but does not work with every phone. And so in contrast, I have a Lineage OS. That's a very popular custom ROM, It uses the drivers, the original drivers from the manufacturer, but therefore it also works with a lot of phones out there. So once you have the custom ROM, then you can install FDroid. What is this talk about? And this is also the easiest option here. This is the logo from FDroid. This is also the easiest step in the whole process. And you can also start backwards. And if you do not yet know FDroid here, you can basically, you can also install it on your normal Android phone. You can directly start, basically, while I'm giving my talk, you can, aside, you can install FDroid and check out the nice features that I tell you. And that's why I wanted to focus on this step here in my talk. So, as already said, FDroid is a free software app repository, so it's basically similar to, you know, from the Google Play Store or Amazon Marketplace or things like that. You have a repository full of only, in this case, only free software apps. And also it's a client. And with that client, you can access this repository. The thing is, to get the client, once you have to download it from the internet, because it's not in competitive stores for competition reasons. They don't offer this. So, I mean, you can search in the internet or type in that URL. So you have to download it once and install it. And then once you have it installed, then it basically looks like this. If you started the first time, this is how your screen looks like. And what you see here is the newest changes to the repository. So either the newest app or if there was an update on an already existing app, it will also appear again here in the stream. And it's the design is with the tiles. So you see latest apps here. Then you have a search function also here to look for apps if you search for an app. And you have a categories section where you can browse apps by topics. If you look for games or development or office or whatever category you're looking for, you can browse the repository and you will see all the apps. If you dig deeper, so if you choose for an app, you want to look at an app, then you get this view here. So you see a description of the app, you see the latest changelog, a description, and you also see anti-features. So you are warned, depending on the app, what it does. So, for example, it tracks your GPS activity, or in this case, because NewPipe is a free software replacement for the YouTube app, and in this case, it says, so this app promotes non-free network services. And if you scroll, this is basically if you scroll further down, you see more options. So you see the option to donate for the developers. You see all kind of meta information. You see the license that is used. You see you can access the source code, the website, and so on. And really nice, I think, is also that you see minimum the latest free versions of the app, so you can downgrade, upgrade as you like, because maybe you don't like the new features improved or it does not work with your system or something. So it gives you here the full control over the version that you like to use. And talking about the donations, it's this time of the year, but also in other times of the year, I want to use this occasion to say free software heavily depends also on your financial contributions. Help, if you like free software, choose some project that you like to support. Please consider donating and protect freedom by doing that. Going on, of course, you also have an administration interface in FDroid. There's a lot of things that you can do. I want to highlight that you can, of course, you can manage the apps that you have installed via FDroid, and you can manage the repositories that you use, which I will explain in a minute. on this slide, I want to highlight here more that you can also use the Tor services to connect with the repository if you are in need of advanced privacy and anonymity. Then you can use the Tor services here also with the F-Droid. Talking about managing the installed apps, I think it's very intuitively what you see here. You have you see in this case the apps I have installed and that need an update, and you can either update them all at once or individually. More interesting and maybe less intuitively is the repositories. So when you install F-Droid, by default, it is connecting to the F-Droid repository. This repository is a collection of free software apps and free software apps only. There are some things you have to apply to get into the repository, and else you will not end up there. But what you can do, you can also set up your own repository, or as a user, you can add additional repositories. So in this case, you see there is also the Guardian project, for example, and the MicroG repository connected. For the 35C3 here, there's also a special repository with the schedule and with the C3 nav. The power here is that you can use the F-Droid client for multiple stuff. So I was reading a very interesting story from Thorsten Grote. He was in Cuba, and in Cuba the bandwidth is very expensive. So they go they need basically Wi-Fi to download from the internet, and there was this internet cafe. And this internet cafe was offering, they were setting up their own repository where they put apps in, also proprietary apps, also non-free apps, that they collected from other sources for their customers, so they could download it there. And this way, they were spreading the software basically to the people. Or if you are a developer, and you have your software in the alpha or beta version or even in the final version, then you can also use this. You can set up your own repository and spread your software via this repository. And even if you do not apply it to whatever the F-Droid repository asks you to. Yeah, we just had this. You can add this is how it basically looks like if you add an own repository. And you can also put a repository into the Onion web, and F-Droid can connect to this repository as well. So this is also a very enhanced privacy and anonymity feature. Finally, a very powerful thing that F-Droid can do is it can help you to share software without having the need of internet connection. So if you don't have an internet connection, you can nearby swap software. So this is possible via Wi-Fi. So if both devices are in the same Wi-Fi, you can share your app with someone else, or via Bluetooth even. So in near field range, I can share an app with someone else without both having internet connection. And even more, you can, if the other person does not have F-Droid yet, you can first send them F-Droid, and then you can share the app. This is, I think, a very, very powerful feature, in particular for maybe less developed regions or regions in with especially less internet connectivity, or where it's too expensive. Remember the story from Cuba I told you? People can go into the internet cafe, download with the internet cafe repository software they want to have, go home, share the software with their neighbors, with their friends, with their families. This is a very powerful feature from F-Droid. So Is there any questions so far? Because else I'm going now to talk about some of the apps that you can find in F-Droid and that I think are really cool to use and very helpful. If there's some question now about the F-Droid itself, we could have one or two questions because of the time. We just have space for one or two. Yes, please.
Is this just me, or is somebody else having this problem?
So the question was that you get in F-Droid an older version than you get in the Google Play Store.
Correct.
Right?
So it always tries to update the F-Droid app.
Yes, I understand. I guess this is because you have your Google services installed. I was not aware that, because this is a very recent change, F-Droid was not available in the Play Store so until recently then. It's what? Not available officially, I hear from the side. So I don't know how you can get it then. I have no Google Play Store. I have really no expert of a Google Play Store.
So it's just me, thanks.
Oh, how does it work? Yeah, so I guess try to get rid of your Google Play Store and the problem is fixed. So, yeah. Good, then I go on here now. No, there was another question. Okay, a second question, and then I will go on because of the time. And we can later have questions.
About this nearby swap, does that mean that both persons have to have F-Droid installed and the app that they're swapping has to be an app in the F-Droid store and you have to have it pre-downloaded as a user, right? And you can only share the specific version.
It means that one of the persons has to have F-Droid and the app has to be in the F-Droid store, yes.
Okay, but
because
if you
this person then can first share, send F-Droid to the second person, and after that swap the app the other person likes to have.
But if you then make your own custom repository, you could pretty much send anything as long as it's in your custom repository in F-Droid? Or is it just the official repository?
If the other person first then adds the repository, in this case,
okay.
I would say. Which might then again have to have some internet connection for adding the repository.
Yeah, but if
so for custom repositories, I guess you first have to...
But if you have a cap of on speed and amount of downloading, then adding repository isn't as heavy as adding the repository and downloading things from it, right?
Sorry, I didn't get it from...
If you have a cap on speed and amount of downloaded data, then adding a repository and then getting the binary from a friend is not the same as adding the repository and downloading from the internet, right?
It should end up with the same app. This is the question.
So you can basically
so
save
if you
your
have
bandwidth.
Internet, of course you can also, you can save some bandwidth. But I mean, the main powerful feature here is, of course, to share software without from one device to the other without having the need of any internet or even Wi-Fi or something. You can basically, with the near-field communication, Bluetooth technology, you can just swap software to the next device. I mean, that is the main feature of it.
Okay, thanks.
But if bandwidth is very expensive, of course, this is also a like in Cuba, then this is also a good thing. Good, I go on here now. We can later have questions again. But as we have started a little bit late, I want to go on here. There's just one thing in F-Droid that might be a little bit annoying, especially if you are new. And this is, there is no rating system first. So if I start to use F-Droid, I have hundreds of apps and sometimes multiple apps for the same thing. So I look for a text editor, then I get 12 different text editors or something, or PDF viewers. And I have no idea which is better, which is worse, where do they differ, or what is the experience with that, because there's no comment function, there's no rating system. So I'm a little bit overloaded, maybe. And even if I just did it like 2 hours before my talk now, a search function, you look for navigation, what do I get? Is first, I get fair email. And then second, okay, this is the C3 enough. Then I get something about my local files, a RSS feed. This is not what I was maybe looking for if I'm looking for a navigation software. And that's why I now want to show you some of the apps I think are really helpful for you to make your first steps. Talking about navigation, I travel a lot, so for me, a navigation software is very, very. I'm in heavy need of a navigation software, and this is Osmond is just the perfect app for this. This is like the Swiss knife for navigation. It's based on OpenStreetMap. You see a screenshot here on the right side. OpenStreetMap, I guess you know, it's the better version of any other map. No, it's the it's like the Wikipedia version of a map. So it's done by the users and by contributions, and it's very, very detail rich. It's much, much more in detail than the Google Map is normally. You can see here, for example, you can see every tree and the waste bin and other stuff. There's, by the way, I've seen there's some OpenStreetMap booth over here, so they can tell you much more than I can do now. But anyway, OpenStreetMap, it's OpenStreetMap based, and the very good thing about OpenStreetMap based this app here is that you can download the map. So I can download the map before I go somewhere, and then again, I don't need any internet connection. I go to Cuba or I go to Morocco or somewhere else. I download the map before, and then I have the full map on my mobile device. I can be in flight mode. I have no need of any internet connection, and I do not only have the full map, I have the full offline navigation system. I can go from point one to point B. I can record my trip. I have all the details with the, if I'm a hiker, where is the better road for a hiker or for the car. If I drive with the car, I even have voice guidance in multiple languages available, like going next crossing to the left or to the right and these kind of things. And everything of this is offline, and this is really, really powerful and works perfect. I use it for my travels since many years, and it works really, really good. It's a very, you can also add your own marks on the map. So if you, the place where you sleep or the place of the CCC or the best beer last night or something like this, you can put on the map and find it again. And you have a lot of add-ons also that you can use. For example, a hillshade layer, which if you are into hiking, is very nice to have, so we can see where is the better road to walk, the better path to go. You also have the altitude visible on the map, and you have much more to add-ons. You have nautic views, and I don't know, I'm using maybe 20% of what is available, just to say, so it's a very complex system. This add-on is really nice. I want to highlight two more add-ons. This one here is from Wikipedia, and you can also download it. And it shows you basically every Wikipedia page that has a GPS location will be shown on your map, including the text of the page. The pictures are only available then online, but you can download the whole text also and use it offline. And when I go somewhere for my travels, I spend there 2-3 days, and then I spend 2-3 days more for discovering the city I am in. You basically have your personal tourist guide in your pocket, and you go somewhere, you see, oh, what is this for a nice church or monument or something? You can look it up. And as you see also, it's not only about buildings or landmarks. Everything that has a GPS mark, like here in this case, the place where Peter Fechter was one of the first victims of the Berlin Wall's border control. So this is very interesting to use. And the other add-on, if you are into mapping, this is what I also really enjoy. You have an add-on that makes it very simple to add information into the OpenStreetMap. So when I go somewhere, there's a nice bar or whatever, or a shop or something that I see it is not yet on the OpenStreetMap. It takes you 1 minute to mark the point, say what it is, and upload it to OpenStreetMap, and the world is just one bit better. I think Osman is the best app that you can use, and it's very complex. But I know from my friends, many people might, or some people might prefer a more nice visual version. So this is where MapsMe comes in. There's also, I think, both some of the apps, in this case, both I already told you, are also in other stores. Sometimes they cost money even. In F-Droid, they are for no cost available, always. In F-Droid, you have no account, you have no rating, you have nothing, basically. But you can use, you can get everything. But that's it. So, as you can see here with MapsMe, it has a very nice visualization of the buildings. And so if you walk around, if you are into this, MapsMe is maybe the best choice. It also has a navigation available. But it's generally, that's basically what it can do, and it's way, way more simple than the Osman I was telling you before. To finish my OpenStreetMap, my OpenStreetMap-related part, again, if you are into mapping, Street Complete is a really nice app that I just discovered recently. What it does is you can walk around and you see quests here that you can do. Like, if you tip on it, then you will see what is this for a house number, or what is the name of this road, what is the surface of this road, and things like this. And it's a little bit, if you know about geocaching or something like this, it's a little bit similar. You have quests you can follow, and again, you can make the map with each contribution a way better. So I'm seeing my time. I have to maybe speed up a little bit. Public transportation. So if you're traveling, you also want to use public transportation often because you have maybe no car with you. This is where Transporter comes in. This is the app to use. On the right side, you see those countries that are colored are the countries where you have access to the long distance railways, and all the dots that you can see are major cities that, or minor cities, but cities anyway, where you have access to the full public transportation network. So I can use Transporter, for example, to go from one building in Paris to another building in Berlin, and it will show me all the way where I have to change and so on. It looks very, I guess, intuitively. So you say you want point A to point B, and then it gives you the different options that you have, and where you have to change, where you have to walk, what time, how long it will take you, as you I might expect it from a public transportation app. And since last year, is a very cool feature. You can also see the same your way on the map, again on the OpenStreetMap. And if you go from A to B, you are a tourist, and then you say, oh, nice, I passed by this monument, the Brandenburger Tor, the whatever it might be. And you have this two-hour ticket. You can just drop out, make a picture, have a walk, go back, and return to your way. That's a nice feature, I think. So much about transportation and the OpenStreetMaps. When you are with your mobile phone, you also often like to access your emails. There is K9 is the preferred app here. K9 has you can add multiple email accounts to administrate. You have unified inbox, but you can also administrate them individually with folders. And you have a threading here. You see this on the right side. This is one email thread. And read and write emails with this application. If you use OpenPGP, then here's the OpenKeychain is the name of this app. It's written here. I forgot to write it down here. So OpenKeychain is the name of this app. So you can also send and read, write and read encrypted emails. I personally do not do it because I don't like to have my private key on my mobile device in case I lose it. But other people do so, and I heard it works pretty good and without any annoyances. Talking about mobile devices, you also often like to synchronize the data. You like to synchronize your contacts, your calendars, and even your data maybe. So this is where DuffDroid comes in. DuffDroid can manage your contacts and your calendars to synchronize them with other devices, basically with any computer connected to the internet, like a server. And talking about server, so of course you need something that is connected to the internet. This is where I recommend Nextcloud. Nextcloud is also over here. I guess they can tell you a way better and more than I can do, but Nextcloud, in short, is you can use it on your server or on your web space, and when you install it, by default, contacts and calendar is included, and then you have this on the right side. You can see here there's a, like you know it from the, maybe from the proprietary competitor, Dropbox. Then you have different options how to share your data with a link or something. But in this case, it's federated, by the way, so we can also share it with other Nextcloud instances. And there is also an app for Nextcloud in the Android store. So from my mobile to my Nextcloud, to my running Nextcloud instance, I can access my data with the browser or with the Nextcloud client, and I can sync my contacts and calendar with the DevDroid app. And this leads me basically into this situation. So I access my data from both devices, either with the client, because there's also a client for GNU Linux distributions, so I can either access my data with the client or the browser and synchronize my contacts, calendars, for example, with Thunderbird or any other client, and from a mobile with the DevDroid. And this leads into the situation, basically, where I have both in sync and just using free software. I'm personally a big music lover, so I was very happy when I discovered the Clementine Remote app. Clementine is a music player, and with this app you can access the running application on your GNU Linux distribution. You have to access the same Wi-Fi, and basically you can remote control your running music, so you can play the next song or the last song. I mean, what you can do with music, louder, less loud, and get the meta information in the music, written in the music. And a really, really nice feature, I think, for me is when you double tap the running music, then it tries to access the lyrics from Wikia, and so you can read also the lyrics while you sit on your couch and you control the music running. It's just awesome. And as we are here on a conference, I guess you might go to other conferences as well. There is Gigity or Gigity or however you pronounce it. I say Gigity now. Gigity is used from multiple especially free software, but generally multiple bigger conferences. And you see here, this is the example on the right side. You see from RMLL in France this year, they had a lot of tracks. So each line is a track. And then you see what is running, the schedule that is running. And you can go into each of the sessions. You get a description of the session. You can set a reminder here. And then your mobile will remind you that about the next session that you wanted to see, which is very helpful, I think, because often you get lost in some chit-chat somewhere. And this will remind you that you wanted to see a session. You can share the session with other people. And also, meanwhile, it warns you when you wanted to see two sessions at the same time. And so helps you to decide what you would like to see. And because of the time, I'm not going more into detail of this. This is basically my final app slide here, just to show some more stuff that is available in F-Droid and I guess many people might like to use. So there are messengers, of course, multiple messengers. And I don't know if you know them. I guess Telegram, you know, it's a messaging network. Prior as well, the Conversations is a client for Jabber XMPP. The Twitter is for social media, but mainly for, I mean, the symbol says basically for Twitter. The Mastodon is the same as Twitter, but for Mastodon. And I have this PDF viewer here because I was I was installing a lot of PDF viewers until I was happy. And I was happy with that new PDF viewer. So I thought to put it here. Also to show you, there are also games in F-Droid 2048, I guess many people know here. Shattered Pixel Dungeon, that's where I spend a lot of hours of my life. And yeah, so, but I encourage you to look for yourself. I just wanted to make some, you know, help you with the first steps or to share the good apps I think are in there. But I encourage you to look for yourself, get F-Droid, work, play around. I mean, it's free software and it's in your hands and in your control. And I hope that I could encourage you to do it. There's one final thing before we can have some questions. I guess 5 minutes are left. Now, I talked a lot about F-Droid, and now there's also G-Droid. I think it's just so fun because it shows you also how the free software world is working. So G-Droid is basically a fork of F-Droid that uses, again, the same repository. It just has a little bit other visual interface. And and then here I like this quote from D. Murphy, who says, "Just use F-Droid to install G-Droid," and that's basically everything you need to know about the concept of free software. Yeah, I like this a lot. So thanks for listening, and we have 5 minutes left. You can either have questions, or if you have an app that you think I missed to show you and is really cool and other people should know about, I think that's also a very valuable contribution here.
Can you hear me? I have a question because I was looking for notepad-like application on F-Droid that I could, for example, write down shopping in, and all of them seemed a bit weird. Do you have something
to write down what?
Like shopping list for yourself or some notes when you're talking with somebody and you don't really feel like there is the Tomboy pads, for example, on Debian systems that is very similar to that, that you don't really care about it saved in a separate location. You don't care about it being in special place. I just need for now notes, and they will probably move to somewhere else later.
Okay. Actually, I don't know. I'm just using a simple TXT file where I write down my notes, and then that's all about my notes. So I'm sorry, I cannot. I don't know. But I know from, but if you pass by the FSCV assembly, I know there's Andre Klöpfel, and he has he's a big fan of some Node app that I don't know yet here. But if you are really looking for, you can just ask Andre at the FSCV assembly.
Okay.
We can also make audio notes and everything. You can make writing notes, audio notes, video notes. It's a very powerful app. I don't know, is someone, do I manage here or? Please.
Node apps that I really like are, for one, Omni Nodes, which you can do many different things with, like text nodes or lists, and then the simple shopping list. It's just shopping lists.
Behind you.
Thanks. Who's responsible for the identity of the guys who put APKs in F-Droid? So who manages, who gets to know, who puts the applications into F-Droid, and what is the process to identify malicious software?
As I said in the beginning, I'm a user and not a developer. I never did put any software into the repository, so I'm not really sure how the process is, but I have read there are some, it just not only has to be free software, it also has to be, you can have to compile it and be able to use it only with free software. Here there's someone who knows much more than me. I hear, can you wait for the microphone, please?
Hi. So basically we have a Git repository or GitLab where we put the metadata for the build, and we clone the Git repository of the application and have a build server to build it themselves and sign up themselves. And if you are a developer, you can also do reproducible builds and sign it with your own key, and we will verify the build and then upload the APK. So it's all verified and open where the APK is coming from.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to say to him.
Will you publish the slides or at least the titles of them?
And if yes, where? I can do so, yes. I think in the wiki is possible, right? Yes, I will. Okay, I will upload them in the wiki in my talk.
So it's me. Oh, okay. Thanks for the talk, by the way. And just some things I figured out for a long, long time. It took me a while to find it. So my recommendations would be Addaway, which is an app which blocks every advertisement on your phone. So very handy. Of course, KeePass, which is a manager for passwords, as a go-to. And an app I really like is Wi-Fi KeyShare. So it basically gives you a QR code of the Wi-Fi password of every Wi-Fi you locked in. So you can share it with anyone who has a barcode reader. So you can say, well, we're somewhere else and you will be at my home later. So you can share that moment without being in the Wi-Fi. So that makes things easier.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you very much. That sounds very good.
Is it working?
Oh, yeah. It just takes a second.
Okay. Sorry. This is just more note. Was the question about whether the F-Droid store is in the Gplay store? And it's not. There's right now a fake F-Droid store in there, so be careful.
Oh, okay. In where? In the F-Droid store?
Yeah, no, in the Google Play store.
Ah, okay.
It's called F-Droid store, and its version number is 100,000 plus. Like, and it's making the...
And is there a real version?
No, there's not, and there's also not
the
real version.
So that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So please be aware, as I said in the beginning, there is no F-Droid in the Google Play store, and don't download the fake version, please.
Yes, and it's also not in the Apple App Store, or whatever it's called. And you should download it on
f-droid.org.
Yes, correct. Or share it from someone.
Where do the guys sit here? Hopefully, when we want to learn more about F-Droid. So maybe ones that answered my question before. Where can I... Are there any people here on the Congress who are doing F-Droid development? And where can I find them? Yeah, I know, that, but I'm a bit far away.
Here are two developers, yeah.
Just one more note about the transportation apps. I believe you missed Uffy app, which recently moved to F-Droid because I had a couple of hiccups with the Google Play Store.
Is it free software?
It is now.
Okay.
And I believe you talked about not wanting to do... PGP encryption with K9 because you were afraid of losing your private key. I haven't set it up myself yet, but I read that there is a possibility to generate another private key, a subkey you could use and just skip the rest of your key. So if you lose it, it's just that one subkey.
True.
Maybe I just miss it. If you're not religious about open software and you want to mix maybe most of F-Droid stuff with some stuff from the Google Play Store, did you mention Yelp, or is that a no-no? This what is Yelp Store, which enables you to pick some stuff that you only get at the closed source store, and which I like to use to mix and match, but that's a personal discussion.
By the way, I think over here. Yes, I heard about it. Actually, I never used it, but and I always forget about it. So there's a Yelp store. Yelp store, I think using the Yelp store, you can get, if I'm correct, you can get all the apps from Google Play Store that are for no cost available. Yeah, only those that are for no cost, because else you need this payment system. I just don't forget, because I don't like to use any binary blob on my phone, so this is no option for me. But yes, I mean, if you want to go the way from, you know, to get rid of Google, install a custom ROM without Google, use F-Droid, and you really cannot, like... you really need this one or two apps or so, then Yelp Store might help you to access them from the Google Play Store without having the need of a Google direct Google connection. But generally, I recommend to not use any binary blob on your phone. And you can for the things that you really want to do, except of marketing stuff or maybe some games or whatever. I think the things that you necessarily need to do are all available in F-Droid.
I also personally only use F-Droid on my phone, but I feel a little bit excluded from communication communities like Signal. And I want to ask you how you're handling it. Are you solely having contacts with Telegram, for instance, which also has some security flaws maybe, or, I mean, without...
No, Signal is easy. You can install Signal with a sideload. So you can download the APK from the web page You have a fingerprint to verify it's the there was no man in the middle, and then you can do a side load, install the APK, and from then on, Signal itself can update itself without, yeah. Okay. So that's how I do it.
I have two more apps. One is Orfox. You know it? It's the Tor browser. And the other one is Orbot, which routes your whole traffic through the Tor network. And the third is AF Wall Plus. I don't know if you know it. It's a firewall which blocks the traffic from your mobile outside. If you have, I don't know, apps from the Google Store also, you can block the traffic also.
In case they call home, for example, or
yeah.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay.
What? The Orfox, Orbot, and AF Wall Plus.
There is also one app I would recommend that's called Wi-Fi Privacy Police, Wi-Fi with the dash in the middle, and it stops the Android from sending broadcasting frames which actually get tracked. So if you're interested in this, I gave a talk with a colleague yesterday about Wi-Fi tracking. It's called, it's actually in Germany, but it's called in German, but it's called Track Me If You Owe. And there are lots of companies who do Wi-Fi tracking, even if you are not connected to an access point and just have your Wi-Fi enabled. Wi-Fi Privacy Police disables this by disabling every Wi-Fi that is not in your range currently. So if you're interested in not getting tracked in the real world, have a look at Wi-Fi Privacy Police. So, further questions?
I just want to say fast that if anybody uses Google Mail with K9, you cannot put your regular Google password in because Google will complain. But you should create double authentication if you have the phone enabled together with email. It allows you to create tokens that you add to the app, and you can create like thousands of them. So that helps with a non-Google phone, because otherwise it's difficult to integrate Google services if you still have them, even if you don't have Google on your phone. And Maps.me is very good with favorites, because you can collect places you've been to.
Good with what?
Favorites, that you can make a list of places you've been to, and then they're very easy to access and very nice to place on the map, so you can have tracking of places you visit often. And navigation between them, you can, well, you can't do it without GPS, but you can basically get mapping easily for walking between them.
If I remember correctly, if I stopped using the Google Play Store, then I am not able to use the Google notification server. Have you experienced downsides from this, or is there how does F-Droid come up with that?
That means the push notifications?
Yes.
No, actually, all my I have no zero Google on it. And I don't know how it works, but I get all the push notifications. I mean, sometimes they might, let's say, I don't know. Sometimes they are late, but that's really seldom. Normally it works.
Mm-hmm. I disabled every Google service on my phone a few months ago, actually, because I have seen that the Google services access location information every few minutes. And when I said disallow for this app, my battery dropped from 2 days to 2 hours. There is one thing where I'm missing the notifications, and that's the Twitter app, not the official app, but I'm using one from the App Store, and that's the thing I miss. It just checks every few minutes. Most of the other apps have some sort of whatever it is, WebSocket or something. And from my opinion, it even needs less power than the Google push notifications, which actually are there to save power. So I'm not sure. More questions or apps you want to have mentioned? Okay, so thank you very much for your talk.
Yeah, thank you very much for also for the nice recommendations here.